This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Does a typo or a grammar mistake really, really bug you? Are you unable to resist making judgments about that person who made the grammar mistakes? Ah, well, if you are, wait until you hear about some interesting new research from the University of Michigan, which gives us some insight into the personality of the critic. Robin Queen is with us, professor and chair of the linguistics department at the University of Michigan. Welcome, Robin.
Thanks for having me.
Well, did someone on the research team find themselves super annoyed by a grammar cop? I'm wondering what got everybody thinking about this in the first place.
Actually, yes. So my co-author and collaborator on this project is Julie Boland. It was really her idea that started it. She's a cognitive psychologist. I'm a sociolinguist. We're both very interested in language, but we come at it from a sort of different perspectives. And she actually is very bothered by these kinds of things. And I'm actually very unbothered by them. And so part of what got us interested was this idea that people actually react differently to these and trying to understand so why that might be the case. And, you know, a lot of people see typos, but especially the grammatical errors, as some kind of commentary on the producer, right? The person who wrote them. And we were sort of interested, does it also say something about the receiver? and not necessarily. So a lot of people have picked this up as, we verified that people who care about good grammar are jerks. And that's actually not at all what we did. But, I mean, it makes for good clickbait, for sure.
Well, it does. I clicked, and here you are. So the team studied 83 people. And what was the construction of the study? And,
yeah.
and what was this? I think you've explained the central question you're
yeah.
asking.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the receiver, the
right.
the reader, not
right.
the generator of the mistake.
Correct. Or not only them. So,
yeah.
I mean, we actually did a series of experiments. So the first set of experiments we did were with a group of college students only. So, I mean, kind of the classic study where you draw on the population you have access to, which is college students. And with them, we didn't actually ask anything about their personality. So we were really, at that point, sort of poking at the things that most people have looked at, you know, sort of demographic characteristics and things like that. We also asked them whether, you know, what their electronic media habits were and how much they read for pleasure, and how important they thought good grammar was. So those were all things we asked them. But there wasn't really actually any relationship between how important good grammar was and how they responded to seeing these errors. So what we did with them, we constructed a series of email messages, fake email messages, and we told them that the email messages were a response to an ad on Craigslist for a housemate. And then each paragraph had three version. So one version was error-free.
Nice and clean.
Right.
Yeah.
One version had some number of typographic errors. And for us, we just used transpose characters. So just, you know, typing T-E-H instead of T-H-E, that kind of thing. And then the third kind had what are also actually, in a sense, typos or at least written errors. So these are the ones that a lot of people get very bothered by. They're different words, but they're homophonous.
Mm.
And they're spelled differently. So the sort of T-O, T-O-O, and T-W-O, or as you were mentioning, you were and your.
Yeah, while you are, while you apostrophe
correct,
R-E, big
right.
difference.
Now, what's kind of
yeah.
interesting about those is, of course, it's not the case that people don't know which one they're using when they speak. Because, of course, you know whether you're using a possessive or a contraction.
Right.
Right? Because you've constructed the sentence. The only place where that actually matters is in writing, because they sound the same. And so you can, in a sense, pick the wrong written form. That's not really evidence that you don't know which one is which. It's just evidence that either you made an error in choosing which the written form, or you might not, maybe you don't know what the right written form is. I suspect, well, it's an open empirical question.
It is open.
But in any case, it certainly renders a written sentence that looks ungrammatical.
Yes.
Right?
It does.
And so those the third set of paragraphs had those embedded in them. And we varied the number of we called those grammos. and so we varied the number of typos in the typo sentences and the number of grammos in the grammo sentences.
What'd you find then?
So one of our questions was, are all errors the same, right? So is it the case that people respond to all types of errors just as errors, or do they actually distinguish different types of errors? And it turned out they do distinguish different types of errors. And in fact, the college students were more sensitive to the typos than to the grammos.
Yeah, okay.
So, which was surprising to us. We had actually hypothesized the opposite.
Yeah.
But it didn't fall out that way. And the college students who had more involvement with electronic forms of communication were less bothered in general. That, and we predicted that as well. But nothing else really, nothing about their gender, nothing about their age, although they didn't have a wide age range, nothing about where they grew up, how much, you know, where they were in their education, none of that correlated with how they had responded. And we called that being bothered. And what that really means is we had asked them as they read these paragraphs to then rate the writer on things like friendliness and trustworthiness and ultimately ask them, you know, do you think this person would be a good housemate? Hmm. So that's kind of how we were gauging their reaction to these errors. So then we decided to broaden the pool a little bit. So we used Amazon Turk, which is an online labor market, basically, and we gave the survey there. And what was nice about that is you have a much wider range of people.
Big pool.
Yeah,
yes.
A bigger pool. So we had a wide range of ages, a wide range of education levels, of course, gender variation that you would expect, regional variation. Mm-hmm. So all of that was captured in that particular pool. And for them, we then also gave them a personality test. And that's what a lot of people have really picked up on. So the personality test is a kind of standard psychological psychometric test based on five personality characteristics that are assumed to be, I don't know if they actually claim them to be universal, but anyway, are certainly found in many different cultural contexts and among people. And these are extroversion, so how extroverted you are, openness, which is really about openness to new experiences, conscientiousness, which is kind of about how much you care about rules.
And details.
Agreeableness, which is really about social harmony. So agreeableness is really about how much you worry about whether other people are bothered or unhappy with you and that kind of thing. And then the last one is neuroticism, and that's kind of how moody you are, basically.
Okay.
So all of us fall somewhere on the scale for each of these five characteristics. And so what we did with the Amazon Turk participant pool was look to see if there were correlations between where people fell on these personality scales and how they reacted to the
grammos
and typos.
Yeah.
Exactly. And what it turned out very interestingly that again, as was with the college students, there were no demographic characteristics that mapped. No gender, not education level, not how much they cared about good grammar, not how much they read for pleasure. And with that population, also not how much they engaged with social media or electronic forms of communication.
So it really lets you get down to the personality these traits.
So anyway, it turned out that people who were more extroverted were least bothered by either type of error. So
they shrug stuff off.
Right. The flip side of that is those who were more introverted were more bothered by both typos and grammos. The people who were lower on the agreeableness scale were more bothered by the grammos than people who were higher on the agreeableness scale. And then people who were less open to new experiences or more conscientious were more bothered by the typos. So what that tells us is that in a population, people respond differently to these types of errors, that the two errors themselves are different, and that also something about who we are as interpreters of language affects how bothered we are by this. Now, what we didn't actually test or find was anything about how likely it would be that someone might point these out to someone else. Right?
Yes, because that is an interesting point.
Right. So, I mean, that's
those of us who have to curb ourselves sometimes from correcting people's Facebook posts, maybe.
Right. So that's a different kind of question that we didn't actually ask, but is an interesting question.
Yeah.
We also didn't really test anything about how nice people are or how jerky they are. So
I can take refuge in the fact that I'm not a jerk because those grammar things send me up the wall and they make me anxious.
That's right. You're not a jerk. You're probably perfectly nice. What we were really looking at was something a little bit different than that. But a lot of people have picked it up to mean, what we all knew all along, people who notice these things are jerks. You know, that's, I think, a different question.
Fascinating stuff. What kind of reaction have you gotten to this?
A pretty wide reaction. Actually, very few people really pick up on what we actually did in the study, and a lot of people respond to either saying, you know, I'm a jerk and I'm proud of it, or, you know, we're just letting language go to the dogs, this is horrible, fine, we just won't ever correct anyone anymore. people care a lot about these things, and in some ways that are different than they have been in the past. So I think because we see so much written material, we see many more errors maybe than we did in the past. And so people are very, have very strong reactions to that and care a lot about it. So
fascinating, fascinating stuff. Robin Queen is the professor and chair of the linguistics department at the University of Michigan. We'll be thinking of those typos and grammars as we go through our day. Robin, thanks so much for sharing your research with us.
Thanks for having me.